Please take your Bible and turn over to Luke chapter 12. Luke chapter 12. We were here last week in this same chapter, and we'll review just a little bit of that, and then we're going to look at verses 22 to 34 as our text here this morning. 22 to 34. Let's go ahead and read here this text, and then we'll get into this message. Luke chapter 12, beginning in verse 22. And he said unto his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither for the body, what ye shall put on. Let me stop right there for a second. So when Jesus says to his disciples, Therefore I say unto you, he's referring back to what he just talked about. And so whenever this is kind of a if you don't know this already, you can remember it and mark it down in your own Bible study. Whenever you see a therefore, you need to go back and find out what it's there for. All right? So this is what Jesus is referring to, is what he just talked about, the parable that he just gave. Okay? And now he's making application to it. And so here we read, Jesus says, Take no thought for your life, what you shall eat, neither for your body, what ye shall put on. The life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? If ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not, and yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field, and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye of little faith? And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind, for all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that ye have, and give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. I want to speak to you this morning on this subject, where is your treasure? Where is your treasure? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, would you give us understanding of your word? Father, and I pray that you would increase, Father, our faith in the Lord. And Father, I pray that you'd strengthen us as your people. And even, Father, for those this morning who are not saved, or who don't know you as their Savior, who are not children of God, who cannot claim you as their Father, Lord, I pray that you'd work in their heart to bring them to a place of repentance today. Father, I pray that your will is accomplished now. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so Jesus just finishes giving the parable of a certain rich man. And we talked about him last week, this certain rich man, who was a man who had misplaced values, and he was a man who was not rich toward God. Let's go back and read here just a little bit. In verse 16, he spake a parable unto them, saying, The ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, What shall I do? Because I have no room where to bestow my fruits. And he said, This will I do. I will pull down my barns and build greater, and there will I bestow my fruits and my goods. And I will say to my soul, Soul, thou hast much goods laid up for many years. Take thine ease, eat, drink, and be merry. But God said unto him, Thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee. Then who shall those things be which thou hast provided? So is he that layeth up treasure for himself and is not rich toward God. So Jesus gives this parable concerning this rich man whose values were misplaced. His focus was in the wrong place, and he was not rich toward God. And he laid up for himself treasure here on this earth. But God demanded his soul back, and he went out into eternity as a fool because he squandered the life that he had been granted as if he owned it for himself and as if he had control over it. And we talked last week about lessons from a fool. And this man squandered this life that God had given to him, had granted to him. And so Jesus is speaking here to this multitude of people, and he's making application to his disciples, and he exposes the sin and the folly of covetousness. But then he continues on with this same subject by adding another dimension to it, as what we've just read here in our text. And Jesus begins to press home upon the hearts of his disciples the needlessness and the vanity of anxiousness and worry over worldly and material things. In other words, Jesus is pressing home the thought that this rich man who suddenly died a spiritual pauper should teach us some lessons, some important lessons, about laying up for ourselves treasures in heaven rather than having all of our focus here in the material world, the here and the now. And that's what I want to talk to you about this morning for just a few minutes. Where is your treasure? Because Jesus said, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And Jesus doesn't say, what is your treasure? He says, where is your treasure? And that is the determining factor of the nature of it. Let's go ahead and work our way through these verses this morning. And the first thing that I want you to see here with me is in verses 22 and verse 23, where Jesus gives the value of life. He says in verse 22, therefore I say unto you, take no thought for your life, what ye shall eat, neither the body, what ye shall put on. For the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Here Jesus gives the value of life. He says, take no thought. You know what that means, take no thought? It doesn't mean don't ever think about it, but it means don't be anxious and don't be worried for your life. You know, people tend to worry all the time. And sometimes God's people, saved people, live in a state of worry, and they live in sin because we are not to be, as God's people, we are not to be people who worry all the time, but we're to cast our care upon the Lord, for He careth for us. We're to trust in our Heavenly Father. In a continual state of anxiousness and worry over things is not trusting in the Lord. People worry when something occurs in our lives that we can't control. We begin to worry. When something appears on the horizon of our lives that looked bad, even though it may or may not happen, we worry. We worry about big things. We worry about little things. I think you get the point. We worry. We spend so much time being anxious. Sometimes people do this. Sometimes, like, people look on the horizon and they anticipate something bad that could happen, like Hillary being the president or Donald Trump being the president. And when there's anxiousness and there's worry over what's going to happen, and we look on the horizon of life and seem like things might be bad, and it's almost like people seem eager for the bad thing to happen because at least it would just get over with. You know, and they live in this state of worry. But when we worry, our faith is diminished. Go to Psalm 127 with me. Solomon must have been speaking on the uselessness of worry here when he wrote Psalm 127. Song of Degrees for Solomon. And the Bible says here, except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh but in vain. It's vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. And then he goes on to talk about how children are the heritage of the Lord. But he says it's vanity, it's vain to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows. As a child of God, we ought to rest secure in the strong arm of the Lord, in the provision of the Lord, which should bring peace. Which, have you ever noticed how hard it is to sleep when your mind is just racing and racing and racing over something? And you're worried about what's going to happen and the unknown and how hard it is to sleep. I had a hard time sleeping last night, I'm telling you. But I wasn't worrying. But this verse kept going over and over and over in my mind. I'm like, why isn't the Lord giving me sleep? Aren't I the Lord's beloved? We live vainly and our faith is diminished when we worry. And Jesus said, back in our text there, he said that, listen, he said, life is far, far greater than the temporal things. He said the body, the life is more than meat, and the body is more than raiment. Food and clothing, those things are the basics of human survival. But the purpose and the reason and the value and the meaning of life is far greater than concerning ourselves with just this present temporal life. Your life as a child of God and a servant of Christ is of more value to Him than the food and the raiment that is needed to sustain that life. Therefore, don't be anxious and worry for your life. Jesus said, take no thought. Don't be anxious, don't worry for your life, because he who gives the greater, which is God, is not going to fail in the less, which is the normal basic things of life. Yet there is so much misplaced priority and misplaced value and investment of this life. Listen, people invest so much of this life into something that is only temporal. And Jesus says, listen, the life, the reason, the value of it, it's far more than just these temporal things. Verses 24 to 28, go back over there to Luke 12. Luke 12, verse 24. Jesus says, consider the ravens, for they neither sow nor reap, which neither have storehouse nor barn, and God feedeth them. How much more are ye better than the fowls? And which of you, with taking thought, can add to his stature one cubit? Now, wouldn't that be awesome? If I could just think, like, I got the short end of the stick. My dad was 6'2", 6'3", 220 pounds. He was a big guy. My mom is a fairly tall lady for a lady. And here I am, 5'10", right? See, the problem, I always lamented that. I'm like, why did I get the short gene? Because I was a really, really, really good basketball player. And I had these aspirations, man. If I was only 6'6", man, I'd play in the NBA, you know? Fat chance, right? But I'm short. And I always thought, well, man, how awesome would it be if I could just add 18 inches to my stature, you know? Which of you can do that? It's impossible to do that. And Jesus makes it very clear. It's impossible for you to do that. So then why are you really worrying about the littlest, the lesser of things? This is so easy. For God, this is nothing. It's impossible for you. And so he says in verse 26, if ye then be not able to do that thing which is least, the impossible, that's least with God, why take ye thought for the rest? Consider the lilies, how they grow. They toil not, they spin not. And yet I say unto you that Solomon in all of his glory was not arrayed like one of these. If then God so clothed the grass, which is today in the field and tomorrow is cast into the oven, how much more will he clothe you, O ye little of faith? And here we read in these verses that Jesus reveals here who is the ultimate provider. Jesus reveals the value of life in the verses before this, but then he says, he reveals who is the ultimate provider, really. You know, people work so hard at trying to keep this life together, and then beyond just keeping it together, they work so hard at trying to make it enjoyable, but they actually make themselves more miserable by the labor and the endless effort that they put into it and not really much to show for it. God is not the one who is building their life. And that is why they labor in vain. You know people like that? Where their whole life is their whole life is about the job, the whole life is about their investments, and they're just working, if I could just get this and if I could just get that, then we'd be really happy and we'd be set. You know, if I can just, I'll just manage this and work this, and I work a little extra overtime here and do this and make this investment, we'll get this and we'll be set, we'll be happy. And if they actually accomplish that, guess what? Oh, if I just can get this and if I can just get that and whatever, then we'll be really happy. And they're never, ever satisfied, and they labor and they work and they labor and they work. Most of the time, people don't achieve that. And they just keep pursuing after the material thing, and they labor in vain because God is not building their house. And they work so hard at making this life enjoyable, but the fact of the matter is, you know what? We can't really provide for ourselves anyway. We're not the ultimate provider. God is. And so Jesus says here, he's teaching his disciples, Jesus says, rest yourselves in God concerning the things of this present life. And Jesus pointed out here in these verses God's gracious provision for the birds of the air. They don't labor, they don't have storehouses and barns, and yet God feeds them. And then Jesus reminds his disciples that they were of more value to God than the birds. And then he reminded them in verses 25 and 26 that they actually really don't have any control over anything anyway. Which of you can add to your stature? You can't. You don't really have control over things anyway. And then in verses 27 and 28, he compares God's people to the flowers of the field that are beautiful and lovely. And yet those things are even more temporal than man is. He says, today they're in the field, tomorrow they're in the oven. They're even more temporal than man is. And if God clothes them and cares for them, how much more will he care for you and for me? Jesus reveals here, who's the ultimate provider? Well, it's God. And people worry and they fret and they, you know, oh no, the world's going to end with Hillary as the president. She can't get in office. Well, you know what? It might if she does. But God is the one who still cares and provides, and God is the one who still has ultimate control. He's the provider. And so Jesus says, hey, look, you're of more value than these other things, which are even more temporal than you. How much more is God going to care for you? Verses 29 to 32, Jesus begins to reveal the heart of the Father. So he reveals the value of life here, that your life is more than just these temporal, physical things. It's of much more value than that. God is your provider. Rest in the Lord. But then he begins to reveal the heart of the Father here. Verse 29, Jesus says, and seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be of doubtful mind. For all these things do the nations of the world seek after, and your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Fear not, little flock, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Jesus says, your Father knoweth that ye have need of these basic things. And then he says, fear not, little flock. Man, Jesus uses some really great words here regarding our relationship with God. He says in verse 32, fear not, little flock. By using that term, Jesus pictures the people of God as his sheep and himself as our shepherd. And we don't have the time this morning to discuss all the similarities between us and sheep and the Lord as our shepherd. But we do have a little bit of time to say a word or two about how Jesus cares for his children. You know, sheep are often dumb. And sheep have a really bad sense of direction. And sheep are really utterly defenseless. And we are like sheep. Sometimes we're really dumb. And sometimes we stray and wander. And we don't have a good sense of direction. And we really can't fend for ourselves like we think we can. We need a shepherd. We need a shepherd to provide for us and to lead us along. And Jesus says, fear not, little flock. You're my sheep. You know all the trouble that we get ourselves into during the course of our lives? You ever stop to think about it? The dumb decisions and choices sometimes that we make that lead us onto another course, which onto this course leads us to this path, and we find ourselves completely straying and wandering from the will of God and in obedience to God, and we find ourselves out in the wilderness. How in the world did I get here? Why in the world did I make that decision? Yeah, because we're sheep. And sometimes we're really dumb. If you look back over the course of life, you see how crazy we can be in the mistakes that we make. But imagine how difficult life would be without a shepherd there to love us, to care for us, to correct us, to get us back on course, and get our thinking straight again, and get us set back on the right path. Man, if he didn't love us and if he didn't have mercy on us and guide us along, where would we be? One of the most precious passages in all of the Bible is the 23rd Psalm. Turn over there with me. Psalm 23, verse 1. And following, this passage speaks to us about how the Lord is our shepherd, how he cares for his flock. Look at some of these blessed truths here. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Here in verse 1, we see that the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd. It's personal. Verse 1 tells me that he takes care of every need. He says, I shall not want. Verse 2 tells me that he allows me as his sheep to find rest and contentment. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. Verse 3, he restoreth my soul. It gives the impression that there needed to be some restoring. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. By the things that he provides, the sheep are restored, they're healthy. He sees that we as his sheep are cared for completely. He gives us perfect leadership in verse 3. Verse 4 tells us that we don't need to fear, for the Lord is with us. Verse 4 says, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. With the rod, with the staff, he fights our enemies, but he also helps us when we stray. What a loving Heavenly Father we have. And Jesus says, look, your life is so much more value than just temporal things. There's so much more for you than just the temporal things. The Lord takes care of all of these creation, all of his creatures, and you're so much more valuable than them. Don't fear, little flock. Then he uses the word Father. He says, your Father knoweth that ye have need of these things. The use of the word Father tells us, listen, that we're more than just sheep. Oh, we're his sons. He's our Father. And that is a precious truth. And it's even more precious because the Bible says that God is your Father. It makes it personal, amen? I don't know if you've ever done some study on the names of God that the nation of Israel had. They had dozens and dozens of names for God. And whenever the people of Israel needed something or had something in their life, at any given time, they would call on one of the names of God. And the name of God that they would use dictated like the situation oftentimes. For example, if they had a need in their life, they would call on Jehovah Jireh, which means the Lord will provide. If they were anxious about something, they would call on Jehovah Shalom, which means the Lord our peace. If they were lonely or afraid, they might call on Jehovah Shammah, which means the Lord is there. If they needed leadership or direction, they would call on Jehovah Rahi, which means the Lord our shepherd, right here in Psalm 23. If they were sick, they would call on Jehovah Rapha, which means the Lord our healer. And there are literally dozens more, but you get the picture. When these people needed to get a hold of God, they referred to him by these various names. However, for those of us who are in Christ Jesus, there's a different name that we use to speak to God. You know what that is? Look at Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. Romans 8 and verse 15. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. Galatians chapter 4 and verse 6 uses this same word. Galatians 4, verse 6. And because ye are sons, God hath sent forth the Spirit of His Son into your hearts, crying, Abba, Father. This word Abba is an Aramaic word, but this word basically translates into English as Daddy. And so the nation of Israel would call on the name of the Lord depending on the situation that they were in. But in our day, and in Christ, we have a different word. We get to call Him our Daddy. It gives the picture of the heart of the Father towards His people. Which one of my children would I not give anything for? Because I'm their daddy. Because I love them endlessly. This is the heart of the Father to such a greater degree for His own children. When we understand a little bit deeper this thought of God's care towards us, what is there to fear? And what is there to worry about? Take no thought for your life. Don't be anxious. Don't be worried. This is the heart of the Father toward you. He's yours. And Jesus reveals the real love and the faithfulness of the Father's heart towards His blood-bought children. Jesus said, your Father, your Daddy, knoweth that you have need of these things. So then why harass your heart with anxious thoughts about these things that are so temporal. Listen, if you can say, the Lord is my shepherd, if you can say that, then you can be confident and say, I shall not want. Amen? If we go back to our text here, we see the last thing in verse 34. Luke 12, in verse 34, Jesus reveals the condition of the heart. The condition of the heart. Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. If you go back to verse 33, Jesus just gets done saying, fear not, little flock. It's your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. Sell that you have. Give alms. Provide yourselves bags which wax not old. He's talking about eternal things. A treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approacheth, neither moth corrupteth. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. Listen, it's not so much what the treasure is, but where it is that determines the nature of it. Listen, as a human, our heart is going to have affections towards something all the time. And the treasure, so the thing, whether it's an imaginary treasure that we put imaginary value on or real treasure, the heart is going to be connected to it. And so Jesus says, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And he makes the comparison between that which is heavenly and that which is eternal and that which is temporal. And if what you value, what your heart values, where that treasure is where your heart is going to be. Is it eternal? Is it heavenly? Is that the focus of the life? Is that the thing that you treasure and cherish? Or is it temporal here on this earth? Is it earthly? Jesus says, listen, it all comes down to the affections of the heart. And the affections of the heart are shown and revealed by what we seek after. Look at it in verse 29. And seek not ye what ye shall eat or what ye shall drink, neither be ye of doubtful mind. Look at verse 31. But rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 33. Sell that ye have and give alms, provide yourselves bags which wax not old, a treasure in the heavens that faileth not, where no thief approaches. For where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. He says the affections of the heart and the affections of the mind are going to be shown and revealed by what we seek after. Here's the point. If the basic necessities of this present life are promised by our Father who loves us with an endless love, then we don't need to worry about those basic things. And listen, here it is. We are entirely free to set our whole hearts and our whole affections on things above and gain treasure in heaven. We don't have to be preoccupied, is what he's saying. We don't have to worry about, oh, I got to keep body and soul together and I got to work so hard here with these things. We don't have to have divided loyalties, is what he's saying. God provides all of these things. We're completely free to focus on that which is eternal. Where is your treasure? What are you seeking after? Gaining in this life? Keeping body and soul together? Getting a good bank account, a retirement, collecting toys, building houses. What are you seeking after? What are you investing your life into? Because listen, that is what you treasure. And where your treasure is, that's where your heart is. Is it temporal or is it eternal? How are you investing your life? Are you working hard and laboring in vain to gain in this present life? If so, you're wasting your life. And you may end like that rich fool who laid up treasure for himself but was not rich toward God. That's the point that Jesus is making here. Where's your treasure? That's the revealer of where your heart is. As a child of God, listen, we don't need to take thought for these temporal things. The Lord will provide and keep body and soul together. He's our great heavenly Father. He knows we have need. We're completely free to be able to invest life into that which is eternal. Because that's what's real, of real value. Maybe you're here this morning and you're not yet saved. You need to come to Christ because He's not your Heavenly Father. You don't have these promises without Christ. I primarily have spoken to saints of God today. But however the Lord speaks to your heart, maybe you're dealing with the Spirit of God right now. Why don't you submit and yield your will to God's will? And then, He can be your Heavenly Father. Then you can understand what it's like to have Him as your shepherd. Guarantee, if Christ is not your Savior, your heart and your affections, they're right here on temporal things. You respond as the Lord speaks. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank You for these reminders and these truths, this teaching of Jesus to His disciples to help them to see what's really valuable. And it's not the temporal things. And the Lord, our great Heavenly Father, who loves us endlessly, provides all that we need, and we can be free to wholly, completely invest our life into that which is eternal, and to seek after the kingdom of God. Lord, I pray that You'd help us in our thinking, and help us to be honest with ourselves. What am I really seeking after? Where is my treasure? Where's my heart? And Lord, I pray that we'd be ever more committed to having our affections set on things above and not on things on the earth. Father, I pray for those who would be here this morning without Christ, or that You'd work in their hearts to draw them to the Savior. In Jesus' name, amen. Let's